He assured us he was, I'm not sure if he said he wasn't over 40 or under 40. But at any rate, he's quite old. And I want to read this prayer. It's a beautiful prayer, and those of us who have been Baha'is for many years and who used to say this prayer at least every day and often at noon, we hear this and we think of it, and we come together and we say it again and again and again. And I'm going to read it to you now because it brings back the feeling of Shoghi Effendi to those of us who are old-timers, and those of you who aren't quite old enough to be called old-timers, I hope you'll enjoy just this. We cherish the hope that thou, the beloved, will bestow upon Shoghi Effendi all the strength and vigor that will enable him to pursue over a long and unbroken period of strenuous labor the supreme task of achieving in collaboration with the friends of every land the speedy triumph of the cause of Baha'u'llah. Friends, that prayer has power, and it does your heart good. And when you could see how Shoghi Effendi was guiding the affairs and directing us, he used to give us plans. I remember when Audrey and I first became Baha'is, we just got under the wire when Shoghi Effendi gave us the first 7-year plan. And at that time, as Lloyd Gardner told us this morning, there were only 2 local assemblies in Canada, Montreal and Vancouver. There weren't even any Baha'is in most of the other provinces. And then Shoghi Effendi came along with the 7-year plan, and he told us what to do and how to do it. And it seemed impossible for us. We had to have an assembly in every province in Canada. And that was a very big undertaking. And so we started out. And we prayed and we taught and we traveled all up and down across the country. And finally, we did get that plan completed. And there are many incidents as to how he guided us and how he would write us and wire us and encourage us and speed us on our way. And I wanted to tell you about Greenland. In this first 7-year plan, we had to have an assembly in every province in Canada. Now you know, I'm sure you all know, even those of you who haven't been in the faith very long, that it takes a long time to bring in an assembly in a brand new place, miles away from nowhere. And one thing we had to do, we had to have an assembly in every province, but we also had to build a nucleus of the faith in Greenland. When we looked into that, this was a little later. This was in the year 1948, at the beginning of the 7-year plan. And we learned that there was no way of getting into Greenland, and if you were in Greenland, there was no way of getting out. The walls were high. Denmark was owned by the Danish people, and they didn't want people going in or going out. And there was nothing we could do. So this went by for a year or two, and one time we had a cable from the Guardian congratulating us on the fine work we had done in completing goals right across Canada. But he said, "You seem to have done nothing whatever in Greenland." And so we on the National Assembly thought about Greenland. What could we do? There was no way we could get in. There was no way anybody in there could get out. And so we would pray a prayer or two and sit there and cross our fingers and go on to the next subject. And then a little while later we get another message from Shoghi Effendi suggesting we do something about that. So we decided we'd better do it right away. And it happened that a year before that, he had given the American Baha'is the assignment of a 10-year goal plan toward getting somebody into Greenland for us. So we wrote her a letter, and she cabled back a loving, nice letter thanking us for our thinking of her, but saying, "It's not possible for me to do anything for you at all." She said, "I pioneered here 10 months ago. I don't know why I came. I can't speak a word of Danish, and I don't know anybody here. I can't get a job, and I'm thinking of returning home. And I thank you for your letter. Would you please pray for me?" So we came back and thank you, we will pray for you, and we began to pray. And then we had a letter from her, and she said, "You'll never guess what's happened to me." She said, "I went out for a walk this afternoon, and I saw a woman on the street who looked as though she was ill. And I went to her and asked her if she needed any help. And she went over to a bench that was in the park just there, and she said, 'Oh, if you could get me a cup of tea, that would be fine.' So she said, I took her into my apartment, gave her a cup of tea, and found she was a delightful person, and began to talk to her, and she said, 'You'll never guess who that woman turned out to be.' She said she turned out to be the sister of the president of Greenland." And we thought, well, we know that God does assist all those who arise to serve Him. And this looks as though the Guardian has directed some assistance to go to Greenland. And this woman's name was Elsa Fimbo Janssen. And so we were told all about this, and it happened that I was going to Europe the next year, and I wrote to this pioneer friend of ours and to Elsa and asked her to make an appointment with me with the Danish government and the Danish section of that government. And I got over there and she took me and we met them and had a delightful chat with them. And they told us they were terribly sorry. They would love to cooperate with us and help us to get a Dane into the country, but it was not possible. And so we went. There was a meeting, a Baha'i meeting of the Baha'i pioneers from several countries all around there. And in the process, that evening, I told those Baha'is of how we happened to connect with Elsa Fimbo Janssen, the Dane who was the sister of the president of Greenland. And they assured us there was nothing that could be done. They told me that they would so like to help us and so on, but it was impossible. It couldn't be done. So we went to this meeting of all the local, all the pioneer Baha'is, and I told the story of how we connected with Elsa Thimbo Johnson. And there was one chap by the name of Pally Bischoff in the audience, and he stood up when I finished my talk, and he said, well, I will go to Greenland. And we said, well, how can you go? Oh, he said, I'm a Dane, you know, and I have influence, and just leave it to me, and I will get into Greenland, and I'll probably be in there within a month. Well, he got in there, and he became a wonderful Baha'i, a wonderful pioneer, and he kept in close touch with us, and we now have an assembly there in Greenland, and we have a board member in there, and it has just gone along swimmingly. And we look to Shoghi Effendi, who stepped in all these cases and helped us. So long as we put forth some effort, he was behind us with his prayers. And so, friends, that is the story of Greenland. And that was the story of a community who felt that they couldn't possibly do anything in that goal and had given up trying. But it was completed, and it's one of our prime goals that is well and truly established. And we're very happy about that now. I should tell you a story that has been made up by someone I know very well. The question of the age of the hands is one thing that as years go by, and we now have only 10 hands left, and we wonder who is going to be the last one. For a number of years, we would look over, some of us would look all up and down these 26 hands. And year after year we would meet, and there would be some deaths. And finally we began to think, well now, who are the youngest of the hands? And as we looked over the crowd, we saw that Enoch Olinga was one of the two youngest at one time. And then we began to think, well, what would it be like to be the last hand? And I remember being so happy to learn that Enoch was the youngest hand, and next to him was a precious soul by the name of Muhajir, who was one of the youngest. He and Enoch were just about the same age. And so we wondered who that would be. And then other hands began to die off, and there are only 10 left. And as each one passes on, we think, well, what would be the job of the last hand? And then I had a feeling how terrible, how lovely the Baha'is are, how kind they are. And we just have to wait and see. And now you can see how that last hand would be taken from conference to convention, carried on a stretcher, with a wheelchair. And he'd be taken and put on the platform. And everybody would stand. And then this poor hand would... And every time I hear of any hand even having a cold, I ask all my friends to pray for him, because I now realize how one can suddenly lose all one's powers and not be able even to finish the best talk he had ever planned. Hello, Bob. We will ask Dr. Furtan to come back another time, and in the meantime, you have a real treat in store for you from our next hand, Dr. Varga.
Mes chers jeunes amis,
very dear friends,
je suis tellement impressionné par cette atmosphère de l'amour et l'unité que vous avez créée ici, que je ne peux trouver des mots pour m'exprimer. La seule chose que je peux dire, c'est que je vous aime tous. Et de cette conférence, je porte un souvenir que je garde durant ma vie dans mon mémoire.
I am so impressed by the wonderful spirit of love and fellowship here that I simply must say that I love all of you.
Vous savez bien qu'au cours de ces deux dernières années, le Canada, pays sanctifié par le passage de notre maître bien-aimé Abdu'l-Bahá, fut pour la deuxième fois le siège d'une conférence internationale Baha'i. Mais cette fois destinée aux jeunes.
This, during the last 2 years, Canada, which was blessed by the visit of the Master Abdu'l-Bahá, was also blessed by the holding of 2 international conferences. This time, however, it is a youth conference.
Cette conférence, si dynamique par sa nature, a pour but de réunir les jeunes Baha'is, de les inspirer, de les guider, de les galvaniser pour qu'ils se préparent pour se lancer dans une autre campagne de proclamation et d'enseignement et aussi d'élargir la portée de leur service si apprécié pour la cause.
The purpose of this conference is to inspire the youth so that they may arise to teach and to dedicate themselves to the service of the cause of God.
De l'autre côté, cette conférence précède l'année 1985, l'année qui marque le réveil de l'esprit des dirigeants du monde à un sujet très important, la question, le problème des jeunesses, des jeunes du monde.
On the other hand, this conference precedes the beginning of 1985, a year when the leaders of the world are going to be awakened by the serious question of the problems of youth.
Que cette année se manifeste par l'appellation de cette année comme l'année internationale de jeunesse adoptée par les Nations Unies.
The United Nations has designated this year as the International Year of Youth.
Nous souhaitons la bienvenue pour ces deux occasions qui nous offrent un plan d'action d'une vaste portée et nous offre une occasion pour les années à venir.
This is a wonderful occasion open to us for the years to come.
Parmi des multitudes de problèmes qui compliquent la vie de notre société, le problème des jeunes jouit d'une grande importance.